Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. I will ask the marshal to call us in.
The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Bradfold, Judge Bjorkman, Judge Kirk, the Honorable Diane B. Bradfold presiding.
Today's date for the record is May 24th, 2022. These proceedings are going forward today as noticed through the Zoom format, so by video conferencing. And this panel has six matters on the calendar this morning. Three of those matters are oral, and those will all be heard today. The attorneys for the first case are present, and so I'll ask the marshal to call the first case.
Now calling case number A220123, Andrew Chrisman et al. Versus Hillman Township, Minnesota.
And I'll make just a few quick remarks before we go ahead with the arguments. I see counsel for both sides present, and I'm sure you're experienced and familiar with the procedures for the Minnesota Court of Appeals. We very much look forward to having this conversation with you today about your case. And so our procedures really are the same by Zoom format, or they would be if we were in a courtroom today. Of course, one difference is the format that we are engaged in. And we ask you to acknowledge that our rules prohibit any recording. I won't ask you to verbally acknowledge it, but understand that our rules prohibit any recording other than the one that is made by the Court of Appeals. We do maintain an audio recording of these proceedings. And that explains some of my next remarks, which are that we ask you before you start your argument to make sure that you identify yourself as well as the client that you represent. And then you should note that there is a clock visible on the screen. If it's not, please let us know that immediately because the clock will go down fairly quickly. Having said that, you know, we are looking forward to hearing your arguments, and so I don't want to wait any longer. Counsel for appellant, you can begin when you are ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Robert Alsop. I represent Hillman Township, the appellant in this matter. We are here today asking the court to reverse the district court's amended findings issued on November 9th, 2021. In particular, the finding requiring Hillman Township to maintain the northern quarter mile of Hornet Street, even though the road had not been maintained by the township for over 25 years. We are also asking that the court amend the finding that the township must remove certain fence posts in the road right-of-way on Hornet Street. It is the township's position that pursuant to Minnesota Statute 365.10, subdivision 11, the authority to order maintenance on the northern quarter of Hornet Street rests with the electors of Hillman Township who have voted against maintaining the road in 2017. The district court's decision undermines the express intentions of the electors of Hillman Township, as well as legislative intent for the statute. In terms of background, Hornet Street was established by a road order in 1904 and consists of a half mile.
Mr. Alsop, if you don't mind, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but sure. I'd like to ask before you, we have read your excellent briefs laying out the basic facts behind Hornet Street and how it was founded, as well as the dispute between the parties. But I want to ask you about how you stated the issue there just for a second. You talked about the statute, subdivision 11, as establishing the authority of the electors to authorize maintenance of the road. And I certainly understand that based on the parties' briefs. In your briefs, it seemed to me that you were relying on a more specific and sweeping argument, which is that the electors have exclusive authority to authorize maintenance of an abandoned road. So would you clarify that for me? Is that what your argument is? Because of course that word exclusive isn't in subdivision 11. So that's gonna be my next question if you wanna go there.
Well, Your Honor, that is our argument. Townships are unique animals. The legislature has created a governing procedure, which is a little bit quite different from cities. The legislature has vested certain delegated authority specifically to town boards. They have specifically granted authority to the electors in certain situations, and they've also identified where the parties may share that responsibility. It is our position that with regard to an abandoned road under this statute, under this provision that identifies the authority of the electors. For a road that has not been maintained for 25 years, is our position that the electors must make the initial determination or authorization for the town board to take action to maintain the road. Once that authorization is granted, I would assume that the town board would have some discretion as to the extent and nature of the maintenance. But yes, that is our position, that for a road that has been abandoned 25 years, the electors retain the authority, the initial authority, to make the determination as to whether maintenance should be resumed on that road. So yes, that is our position.
So do you agree with me that language, you know, exclusive authority isn't in subdivision 11, or am I just missing something or some interpretation?
No, Your Honor, I'm overemphasizing the word exclusive. Uh-huh. I think it's more of a timing issue in terms of, I'd identify it more as a condition rather than exclusive authority. I mean, in order for the town board to authorize any expenditures for an abandoned road, the electors must first authorize that. Okay. That's our interpretation of the statute. And I think that's, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I guess what I expected you to say, and maybe I'm wrong, is that, well, that's what this court held in Hagen. I mean, that's what your brief says.
There's no question. That's exactly what was held in Windermere Township case. Absolutely.
Yes. And I guess the other thing I'm asking you is to recognize that tension, you know, Hagen, and you said it in your brief. I mean, the portion that jumped out at me on page 19 was, although the language of the statute appears to be permissive in its authority to the electors on this issue, and it's this issue of maintenance, Hagen interpreted the statute as granting exclusive and binding authority. So, I mean, to me, that's the heart of your position on appeal. Am I right? Or
absolutely, yes. I mean, we have three primary arguments. I don't mean to dodge your question or move on from your question, but
I don't want you to, because I have a follow-up.
Okay, so go ahead. I agree with your interpretation or the decision in Hagen that the electors have the exclusive authority once the road has not been maintained for 25 years. Yes.
So if I'm reading the district court's decision, the amended decision correctly, I think what the district court faced or was concerned about is the lack of authority, meaning Hagen, you know, Hagen or the statute, either one, doesn't discuss the impact of partial abandonment or partial maintenance. From reading your briefs, I mean, you never directly take that question on, but I don't think, well, at least I didn't remember it. What is your position? I mean, it is certainly true that neither the statute or Hagen directly addresses partial, although Hagen is looking at maintenance of a partial road. So,
our argument is twofold. Number one, the plain wording of the statute does not make a distinction between entire roads or partial roads. So therefore the district court making that distinction seems to have no basis for that distinction. And as the amicus brief points out, there are multiple statutes that refer to town roads. And the reference to a town road does not preclude a township from applying that statute to portions of roads. So that's one argument there, that the plain wording does not limit or qualify how it shall be applied to a partial road or to an entire road. And then I agree with you, Judge, that I think you can assume from the Hagen decision that it does apply to a portion of a road, because that's exactly what happened in the Hagen decision. It was a partial portion of a road.
But Mr. Alsop, from reading Hagen several times as I have, I don't see any indication that the issue that was pivotal to the district court here, and that is whether maintenance of a portion or a segment of a road or street within the 25 years obligates the township to maintain the entirety of the road. I don't know that issue was actually presented to the court in Hagen, was it?
Not expressly, not that I could see, but it by implication that it was applied in Hagen to a portion of a road based on the court's interpretation. But with that said, I respectfully disagree.
If Judge Bjorkman doesn't mind, let me follow up. I mean, you said it's implicit in Hagen. I don't know that it was, because the party stipulated in that case that the road, the section of the road, or the road, I guess, I think it's stated as the road, had been abandoned in Hagen. We don't have that here. That was a hotly contested issue, right?
The party stipulated to the road being abandoned, yes. I don't see that as being a distinguishing factor in this case.
Why not?
Because in this case, notwithstanding the fact that respondents have identified certain types of maintenance that was performed on the road for this court, that issue is not before this court. That issue was decided, was not asked to be amended by the respondents, has not been appealed by the respondents.
Help me out there. That issue was decided.
Issue of no maintenance being performed. That is a fact issue that's been determined by the district court and is not appeal in this case.
Yeah, no, I read that argument with interest because I agree with you. The district court judge vacated the judgment, all right, the first judgment. The district court judge didn't amend all of the findings. District court judge amended some of the findings, all right?
Correct.
So that part I follow. I'm struggling a little bit because the district court's findings in the June 2nd order are pretty specific as to which parts of the road were maintained. You know, that the northern portion had not been maintained by the city.
Correct.
Southern portion had been maintained. So I'm not quite sure that you can say that I don't know how you can say that abandonment's not partial abandonment and partial maintenance are not an issue, because the district court called that out too in the June 2nd order.
Well, the way I read the district court's decision, to be honest with you, Judge, is the district court judge relied on inappropriate evidence with regard to access of the Christmans. That was the bulk of his argument.
I'm not talking about access, counsel. So I'm talking about the abandonment maintenance factual determinations. And again, maybe you see something in the June 2nd order I don't see, but it's—
I don't see the June 2nd order changing any determination made by the district court that no maintenance was performed on the northern portion of the road.
Right, but where does that get you, going back to this question about does Hagen control when a road has been partially maintained? Because the parties in Hagen stipulated to abandonment of the road. We don't have that stipulation. We have a hotly contested issue about maintenance / abandonment. And in this case, we have the June 2nd findings, to my reading, but maybe I'm missing something, recognize, you know, partial maintenance. And so then the district court judge wrestled on motions to amend. Well, don't shake your head. That's fine. The judge does find, you know, maintenance of the southern portion of Hornet Street, right?
I guess I'm getting mixed up with partial maintenance. There was no finding in the June 2nd that was partial maintenance of the northern quarter.
You can restate it. I mean, it's maintenance of the southern portion, right, of Hornet Street. June 2nd order.
There was maintenance of the other portions of the road in the Windermere case. They maintain the other portions of the road.
Where do you see that in the Hagen case?
Well, my assumption is they maintain.
They specifically say
that a portion of the road, they were only going after a portion of the road that was not maintained. Uh-huh. So maybe I'm reading too much into Hagen, but I'm assuming that the other portion was maintained.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Alsop. I think you started to go down this road. I think you suggested that the question of whether the southerly quarter of Hornet Street was regularly maintained and the northern quarter was not, is not an issue before this court. If we disagree with you, would that be a finding subject to clear air review? Or how would we approach the question of maintenance of all or a portion of Hornet Street and the district court's findings about that maintenance?
I guess I'm not sure what the court is asking me. If you're asking me—
Let me restate it then. You made the comment that the question, a fact-based question as to whether the northern quarter of Hornet Street was maintained in the last 25 years is not before this court because no appeal was taken of that. I'm not sure I agree with that, but if you are right, would we be reviewing then the district court's findings from June of 2021 for clear error, or would there be some other standard we would apply to the fact question?
If that issue were raised appropriately by the respondents, yes, that would be the standard to apply. And you would have to find that the district court, made a mistake in looking at the evidence and made a determination that the northern quarter mile was not maintained for over 25 years. That argument was not offered. I mean, there was no standard review like that offered by the respondents, I don't believe, in their briefs. I don't believe it is part of this appeal. I think the undisputed facts based on the record and what's before this court is that the northern quarter mile has not been maintained in this case. And that's a given. Now, the respondents can identify certain maintenance that was done by private individuals that was not authorized by the township, that was not paid for by the township, which is clear from the record and from is supported by the district court conclusions. But I don't think that determination was ever raised in this appeal and should not be challenged at this point.
And Mr. Alsop, when you say it's not raised, are you suggesting, I think maybe you are, that the Chrisman's should have filed a notice of related appeal, if that's yes. The challenge they wanted to make?
Okay. My understanding of their arguments, well, they're throwing the maintenance issue up there, I think, to cloud the facts in this case, but more importantly, I consider this issue to be, does this statute apply to portions of roads? That's the issue as a matter of law. That is the only issue before this court, in my view, on behalf of the township. There's no issue before this court whether maintenance was performed on northern quarter mile, because number one, it wasn't raised in the appeal by the respondents other than for just throwing it out there, but it's not part of this appeal. It was determined by the district court and not challenged by the respondents. They didn't ask for amended findings on that. It was the application of the statute to the facts that were determined by the judge, which was the northern quarter mile was not maintained. I see my time is up. I can't answer any more questions.
Thank you, counsel. And of course, you will have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose.
Thank you.
So we've reset the clock for the respondents, and counsel for respondents, you can begin when you're ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Now I can hear you. Go right ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Sarah Jewell, J-E-W-E-L-L, on behalf of respondents Andy and Renee Chrisman, who are here today as well observing the proceedings. I'd like to pick up where the court left off in terms of the standard of review. I think that is very important in this matter. As we know, findings of fact are normally looked at by the appellate courts under a clearly erroneous standard. And that's, you know, multiple cases. I mean, I could cite a few of them, but that would be the standard of review for fact findings. And I think it's also important to point out that Judge Hilgis, in his decision that we're talking about here, the November 9th, 2021 motion for amended findings decision, page 3, this is in appellant's addendum, page 12, or 012, I should say. In paragraph 2, towards the bottom of the page, noted that these are unique facts in this case. And I think that that was something, you know, Judge Hilgis was concerned about, because the routine maintenance on the southern half of Hornet Street, he did feel that that did obligate the township to maintain the northern half under the unique facts of this case.
And is that a legal determination by the court? It's listed as a conclusion of law.
You know, I think it is a mixed it is a mixed finding because there are facts underlying that. But then, you know, there is the law again as well, which appellant spoke to, Minnesota Statute 365.10, subdivision 11, where I think, you know, my interpretation of, you know, not trying to put myself in Stoney's, you know, shoes, but he's looking at this saying, you know, if it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, if it, you know, squawks like a duck, it's a duck. You have a township road that was never abandoned here. And so, you know, for many years, people didn't live on 2959 Hornet Street. And so just as a matter of possibly convenience, the township sometimes maintained it, other times maybe were less inclined to maintain it. It was sort of an intermittent maintenance. And so, you know, but the road was never abandoned as a township road. It never went through the procedures that would be required.
Doesn't Hagen suggest that that doesn't matter, whether there have been abandonment proceedings or a determination of abandonment?
You know, that case is unique, and I've gone over that case many times as well, and I think it just simply doesn't apply as we wrote in our responding brief, because the parties in that case did stipulate and agreed that no maintenance had been done for over 25 years, which sort of gives you that de facto abandonment. And so the issue, I believe, in Hagen was whether the town had to sort of reopen that road as a township road and restart that engine to, you know, provide maintenance routine and add that back into their budget, which, by the way, was a very expensive and costly thing for the township in Windermere, because it involved replacing an entire road at that point, or excuse me, not the road, a bridge. And so that is kind of a different proposition factually too, that distinguishes that case from this one, where we're not looking at rebuilding an entirely new road. We're looking at just maintaining the last quarter mile where we've got people living and, you know, children that need to ride the school bus and people that need to get in and out for their cattle business and other things like that. And so, you know, that I think makes it not apples to apples. I think that definitely makes this, you know, apples to oranges. It's a different situation. So, but to your question, I do believe that, you know, the abandonment was looked at there because essentially the parties agreed it was already abandoned. And the well, issue.
I think the parties agree that a portion of the township road in Hagen had not been maintained for that 25 year period of time. I mean, I think that is what the parties agreed to. And what I'm interested in is whether you're really trying to equate that stipulation with the district court, with the fact that there was evidence in this case going both ways. And I'm struggling with whether we are bound by the district court's finding that in fact, the northern quarter of Hornet Street had not been maintained for 25 years, because I think the June 2021 order says that, and I don't see amended findings on that point. So I'm just trying to figure out if the fact that there was a stipulation in Hagen makes that big of a difference.
And I see your point now. Thank you for clarifying that. So I think that in this case, we're looking at there was conflicting testimony that was brought forward at the district court before Judge Hilgis. We had photograph evidence of the township road grader going by doing snow plowing. We did have testimony from Ms. Chrisman discussing seeing maintenance being done, road grading, that type of a thing. We had evidence of in 2016, two culverts were inserted into Hornet Street that, you know, when we looked back on the Gopher One photograph or work orders, showed that they were ordered by Hellman Township. I know there was disputing testimony in regards to whether that was paid for by the township or not, and I don't think that the court ever got to that point. But I guess, you know, the point here is that after the motion for reconsideration was made by the respondents, Judge Hill just took a look at all of the facts and circumstances in the case and said, I made a mistake. You know, I did have something wrong here. The fact that the fence posts were in the road right of way really wasn't addressed. It was based on what his misinterpretation of trial testimony was. Those type of things, you know, he's already looked at that and corrected that. And then when you look at what he also revised, granted, he did not revise everything in his June order. I do agree with that. I you know, that is where we're at today. But as he looked back on everything that had transpired, he did realize that a mistake had been made, and that was the reason he went ahead and, you know, granted the motion to amend. And that's, again, I think something that's of primary importance with regard to respondent's position on this case, because you've already got a judge who's reviewed, you know, all the evidence, was there to hear all the credibility of witnesses' testimony, look at all the exhibits that were submitted at trial, realized an error was made or a couple of errors were made, and corrected those errors in order to get to where, you know, we ended up with the conclusions. I hope I addressed the question fairly. If not, let me know. But at any rate, that's what we're really looking at here in terms of, you know, this is something that both was a maintenance issue and an abandonment issue. Again, respondents do not believe that the Hagen-Windermere case is what it says, what the appellants say it is. But
so even if it is, here's one of my struggles. If this court says that Hagen did not decide the issue that the district court decided in the amended motion. So this question did not, what the district court says is, in the prior order, it did not rule on the issue of whether defendant's routine maintenance of the southern half of Hornet Street, and I'm reading from the addendum at page 12, obligated it to maintain the northern half of Hornet Street under the unique facts. I think that's probably the part you were referring to as well earlier. So if we decide that Hagen doesn't control the answer to that question, what's left of the Hagen decision? I mean, because Hagen is pretty blunt when we get to the portion of the decision at the end where the court states its holding. Hagen says the township lacks authority, and I'm reading now at it's head note 6567. The township lacks authority to maintain the road in the absence of the vote of an electors and board action, and it's pursuant to subdivision 11. And then Hagen goes on to say and says the township has no duty to maintain the road, and mandamus cannot lie. So help me out there. What would be left of that if we now say, well, didn't decide as to partial duties that arise based on maintenance of a segment of a road?
Thank you, Your Honor. I think that's an excellent question. It goes back to the beginning of today's arguments related to the power of the electors, I believe. And so in this case, the facts and the history are that the Crispins did form a petition in 2017 that was voted down by the electors in Hillman Township. That was after some discussion by Elaine Pearson, who's one of the township board members at that time and still is there today. Telling the electors that their taxes would go up, that, you know, a four-rod road would need to be installed through a new area, which would involve a lot of cost and expense. And so we're not trying to disturb really the power of the electors here, which I'm hoping answers that question. And in fact, that actually bolsters the respondent's position in this too. I don't know how much the court wants to hear today about new matters that have transpired.
We don't want to hear about matters outside the record, counsel. Okay. I appreciate that there are some ongoing issues. I'm not, you know, the court's not ignorant of that, but you understand how our review works.
Absolutely.
And we're reviewing the district court's decision that's been appealed, right? And we're doing it based on the record in front of the district court.
Absolutely.
Counsel, can I just back up and ask a question about something you said? You indicated in 17 when the town board supervisor made certain comments to the electors that were present, which I assume wasn't a fair representative of all the electors, perhaps in the township, or maybe it was. But the statement you talked about was the concern about having to establish a four-rod road. It seems that would have not been the issue here, since the first half of the road is a two-rod road and they're having no trouble maintaining that. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely, you are correct, Judge Kirk, that the road itself is actually still just a two-rod road, the same as it was when it was established in 1904. And, you know, the township made an argument related to where the road is, whether it was placed accurately per the 1904 road order. That was really never an issue that was before the district court. We have this road, it's been there all this time. you know, no other individual landowners adjacent to the road ever objected to the location of where Hornet Street is. We talked a lot about Exhibit 82 in the trial court record, which was a series of three surveys that were submitted with no objection to the district court, which simply just located where Hornet Street lies now and where it is and where it's been established as a gravel road. And so, you know, the bus is able to get down that road as long as it is properly maintained in order to get to the Chrisman's home. There, you know, really have been no issues as far as people complaining that it needs to be expanded, other than the town board members who have used it as a way, I feel, to, you know, bolster the argument that maintenance should be denied to the quarter, northern quarter mile of Hornet Street. And that resulted in that 2017 vote where, you know, the electors did vote it down. And so we don't dispute that that did occur. But I believe it was based on, you know, sort of an expanded request, which the Chrisman's did not initiate. They did not initiate a request to expand the road to a four-rod wide road. But yeah, we are not trying to challenge the power of the electors to make decisions to the extent that clarifies the position of the respondents. That is something that, you know, it is in the statute and has been there for a very long time, and we do not want to disturb, you know, the power of the electors to have their say over where their tax dollars go, especially when it comes to road maintenance, which is one of the largest budget items in the township's annual budget. I mean, maintenance of road, closing or opening roads, that's one of the biggest issues that townships routinely and frequently deal with. And so we definitely don't want to disturb any type of power that the electors have to have a say in that. I hope that addressed your question.
It does. Thank you.
Sure. And so I see that I'm running very short on time. It goes so fast. Essentially, today we ask the court to uphold the November 9th, 2021 decision from Judge Hilgis based on the facts and circumstances of the entire case. I think he was looking at how to apply the law in this unique set of facts with this case. Another thing to speak to the MATS, the Minnesota Association of Townships amicus brief. I think that this case really is unique and probably should not have a statewide impact in terms of, you know, undoing the law. I don't believe that that was the intent of the district court. It was not to undo the law, but rather to, you know, find under these set of circumstances how it would apply correctly and fairly to all the residents in Hillman Township, specifically in this case, with regard to the Chrisman's and their access to Hornet Street. Thank you.
Council, can I ask a question? Did, when you refer to this as unique, are you saying that it's unique in relation to Hagen because there was no bridge, or are you talking about other factors specifically?
Thank you. It is unique in the facts because there is no bridge and there is no stipulation, you know, where the parties did not agree to the fact that no maintenance had been performed in 25 years. I think the other unique part of this, which again, Judge Hill just touched on, is the adjacent neighbor to the Chrisman's, Mr. Danny Schmoll, had been a member of the Hillman Township Board for many years up until the actual year Chrisman's bought their property. And I think that that was also part of what the judge took into consideration, because Mr. Schmoll is the person, you know, who admits he put fence posts in the surface of of Hornet Street in the gravel. And those were another thing that, again, District Judge Hill just requested be removed. And to this day, my understanding is at least one of them is still in the road. And so that's another thing we'd request to be upheld in terms of Judge Hilgis's order that that fence post be removed from the road. Thank you.
Anything further from the panel or respondents' counsel? Okay, thank you. All right, we will reset the clock for the rebuttal time. There it is. Counsel for appellant, you can begin the rebuttal when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to clarify this maintenance issue for the courts, at least from the perspective of the township. The arguments of the respondent in their brief, number one, they identify maintenance that was performed on the northern portion of the road. But the gist of their argument was that the June 2nd order was vacated by the judge, and therefore that finding was vacated. That is not the case. The court reiterated his position. Judge Hill just reiterated that those findings were still valid in his April 6th order with regard to an enforcement motion. The township was not found in contempt. There was no violation of the previous orders. And during the motion hearing, I argued that there's a misunderstanding by respondents' counsel that all the factual findings in the June 2nd were vacated, and he clarified that's not true. So all the factual findings in the June 2nd order are the law of the case, as far as I'm concerned. They were not challenged on appeal. It was not argued before this court where the erroneous erroneous conclusions were made by the district court on those factual conclusions. So it's our contention that those facts are established and part of this case. With that said, we go to the next issue, which is, as a matter of law, should this statute only be applicable when an entire road is not maintained? In other words, is that what this court is going to find, that in order for it to be applicable, the entire road must be maintained or not maintained in order for it to be deemed abandoned? Again, the plain statute doesn't require that, is our position. Number two, it's impractical. One of my arguments I've been making is, how do you define the road if you're going to require that the entire road not be maintained? What is the road? Roads are established by multiple means over multiple periods of time. The initial road can be established by a road order. It can be extended by use and maintenance under a different statute. So if you start going down this road, no pun intended, that the entire road must not be maintained in order for the statute to be applicable, how do you define the road? Who defines the road? What procedure defines what that road is? So I think the interpretation—
If you don't mind, I want to ask one question that I think maybe the parties understand better than I do. So you're referring now to how a road order can create, you know, a road, and then a township can make decisions to partially maintain that road. And we have this 1904 road establishing the Two Rod Road. And I'm reading from paragraph 6 of the district court's June 2nd findings. The district court said that the order extends the road 1/2 mile north from County State Aid Highway 3 to the Chrisman's property. So the road, when it was created to go all the way to the current Chrisman's property. Obviously, it wasn't their property in 1904, but is that accurate? Because obviously the road order speaks for itself, but I'm just trying to understand.
Oh, that's accurate. That's a two-rod road extending 1/2 mile north of Highway 3.
Okay.
Yes.
And so the extending 1/2 mile north, is that mean that that's the length of Hornet Street? The full length is 1/2 mile?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
And there's no question that only 1/2 of that was maintained for well over 25 years. And I know my time's running out. Again, the statute, all it requires is that there be a road and that not be maintained. And if you read the language of the statute, it specifically says a road under the jurisdiction of the town board. The northern quarter mile of Hornet Street is a town road under the jurisdiction of the town board. We have met the criteria for the statute to apply. And therefore, if it hasn't been maintained for 25 years, it is a town road, it's under the jurisdiction of the town board, has not been maintained, it has been abandoned, contrary to respondents' contention, and the statute applies. Maintenance cannot be performed now until the electors agree to it. It's not for the court to step in and make that determination. There is a cost to maintain this road and rebuild it to the standards of the township. It is not going to be a four-rod road. I'm not sure if that's even in the record. It's going to be a two-rod road, but as their surveyor pointed out, it goes through a swamp. On page 14 of the trial transcript, Their own surveyor acknowledged that it goes through a swamp or a lowland. It would require significant improvements to get up to par. We'd ask that the decisions of November 9th be reversed.
Council, just a question out of maybe curiosity, but when this road was established in 1904 or whatever, was that in response to a petition for a cartway by the owners, or was that established in some other form, if you know?
I do not know. But I don't think it was a cart. I don't know. I can't answer that, Your Honor.
Because a lot of these roads start out as cartways, and then the township at some point takes them over.
Correct. Yes.
If I may respond in that regard.
No, Council, you won't be responding to that. So is there anything, though, further from the panel for Council for Appellant? All right. And thank you, Mr. Alsop. Thank you, Ms. Jewell. Very much appreciate hearing from the parties on this very important case. We understand how important it is to the Chrismans as well as to Hillman Township. And so we very much appreciate having these oral arguments today. So Thank you. Having done that, I want to say that this matter is now submitted to the Minnesota Court of Appeals for its decision, and we will issue a written decision within the statutory timeframe. So thank you so much. That concludes the oral argument on the first matter.